Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Pray. This is what Jesus was teaching his disciples in the gospel passage that I just read. Pray without ceasing. But of course, that begs the question, what to pray for? See, up to this point, Jesus and his disciples had been traveling from Galilee towards Jerusalem. He had been teaching them about the kingdom of God and what it would mean when it arrived. He told them that it would bring forgiveness of sins. It would bring healing for the brokenhearted, liberty for the captive, good news for the poor, and even justice for the oppressed. And they would later ask him how to pray. And he would respond, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Now, following our passage, as they came closer to the holy city, he would speak a parable to them because they thought that the kingdom of God was at hand and would appear while Jesus was in Jerusalem. And so, what were they to pray for exactly? Of course, for the arrival of God's kingdom. This is what Jesus told them to anticipate, to pray for, to watch for. And they probably were all too eager to do exactly that, for their expectations were a godly reign in a worldly sense, that God would raise Jesus up as the new king of Israel who would crush Rome and restore God's power and authority over the promised land. And what Jewish person would not want that, would not long for that, would not pray without ceasing for that? And so you can imagine what they must have been thinking when they heard this parable being told to them by Jesus. Now I want you to listen to it again with that context in mind. That Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly.'" Yes, that's exactly it. That's what they wanted to hear. After all, weren't they being persecuted by the Romans? And this parable seems to indicate that if a corrupt judge would eventually give in to this poor widow, how much faster would a righteous judge bring about his justice? And this is what they wanted to hear. This is what they longed to hear. The promised king would soon come and reign. The nation would soon be restored. A king, it would soon be seated. And maybe, just maybe, that king was right here, traveling with them into Jerusalem to reclaim his rightful throne. And so, how troubling it might have been, how troubling it must have been, how deflating it must have felt when they saw their king, their earthly savior, get crushed by the very evil force he was supposed to conquer. Everything Jesus had taught them must have clearly had a different meaning than what they expected. So what was it all to mean then? How was God to bring justice to the oppressed? How was God to vindicate them? Jesus was dead. He had suffered the same fate that they all feared. So what then were they to pray for? Now this message may have not reached their hearts at the time, but after Jesus was crucified, after he was resurrected, after he ascended into heaven, after he sent them the Holy Spirit and filled them, they might have recalled this account, this parable. And it might have even provided comfort to them. Pray constantly. Pray for God's justice. Pray that God's kingdom come. But when? But how? But what? What was God's kingdom? Exactly. For it clearly was very different than what they thought it was. So what was it? Let's set that question aside for just a moment. When I reread this passage, I did not read the final statement from Jesus, and I'd like to read that right now. He ends his teaching. He ends the gospel passage with this. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? What did Jesus mean by this? We read in other places in Scripture where nothing can stop the growth of Christ's church. So it cannot be a question about that. We can place our confidence in the reality that the church will exist until he returns. So the question is not about the universal church, but it's more a question about the individual's faith. When Jesus returns, what will he find in you? Will you be counted among the faithful? Now, for many of us, it's probably an easy question to answer. We reflect on our lives and we find that it is pointed towards Him. And we can confidently state that even as a sinner, we, through faith, with the help of the Holy Spirit, live a life that attempts to be pleasing to God. But at the same time, there are also some among us who struggle with their faith. And they hear this parable, and they identify with the widow, or even the judge. And maybe those who are firm in their faith also identify with one of these characters on occasion. What must it be like to see themselves, yourself as that judge who is focused on self, who has the world by its tail, so to speak? How must this message land on their hearts? Or what if they're seeing themselves as the widow, never ceasing in their pleas, calling out day and night, calling for justice, but that justice just never seems to come? This parable is for them just as it is for for the confident in faith. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray for justice. Pray for the kingdom to come. Pray. Now, a church father from a long time ago, Augustine was his name, once said this: when faith fails, prayer dies. In order to pray, then, we must have faith. So pray. And now we come back to the question we set aside. What exactly are we supposed to pray for? What exactly is the kingdom come? The kingdom of God. Well, it's not something that reflects any earthly kingdom. It is not bound by physical borders. There's no succession of power from one king to another. It's not even bound by time. It's a kingdom that has already come. It has arrived, and it arrived the very moment that Jesus entered the world as an infant. And it continues to this very day. And it will continue until he returns again to make all things new. It's a kingdom that exists wherever the King exists. And the King, King Jesus, exists right here, right now, with us. So, the kingdom is already near. And because it's near, we can enjoy the blessings that it offers, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of our own resurrection. We receive these blessings through His Word and at His table. Because His kingdom is near, we have access to these blessings. And so we pray that His kingdom come, because we need His kingdom to come near, especially when we act like the judge. And over time, our prayers change, not just in worldly circumstance, but because of our faith. Prayer changes us as we're molded and shaped by God. We're refined by Him with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so our prayers for the kingdom come begin to reflect this influence, this working within us. Consider how your prayer life has changed over the years. And consider how you have changed over the years because of your prayer life. But although we know that the kingdom is already near, we also acknowledge that there continues to be a kingdom of Satan that rules in this world. And so we pray that Jesus will return once again to destroy evil once and for all, to set us free, to make all things new. And so our prayers about the coming kingdom, it's more than just a prayer for today. It's also a plea for a time in the future when the kingdom will be realized completely, just as God has planned. It will be a kingdom where we live with Him face to face and free from the influences of Satan and the corruption of sin. And it will be a kingdom where complete justice, not earthly justice, not the kind of justice that we expect, but heavenly justice exists. And so we pray for that day, and we pray without ceasing. And through faith, we know that one day it will come, and every tear will be dry, and all things will be made right. Please pray with me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.